the inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, loyal listeners. We got Nick here, producer Nick filling in. Father's probably down on his way. Tony is with me. How are you today, Tony?
Fine. We're taking over the show.
It's a Friday feeling, folks. Our Friday feeling is certainly coming up on us right now, so it's going okay. You said that you felt something as I was talking to Tony before the show started. With everything that's going on and craziness in the world, he was talking about how those of you that are geeks like us will probably get this. He sensed a disturbance in the Force. So what's going on with that there? You got me intrigued about that, Tony.
I don't know. These times are bad. I mean, it's, as much as I try to be positive, wow, that's me, Tony, talking about being positive.
Are we on the phone?
I'm not. Yeah, here comes Father walking and saying, they took our show.
Van is right here. Hang on, Father.
Yeah, I just can't be as positive as I used to. Father, don't do that to me again.
Sorry about that. Well,
and okay. I know you're busy. That's the only reason you do things like this. But no, now I realize what it feels like.
That's okay. What time is it? I'm looking at the okay.
Oh yeah, it's just a few minutes left.
Well, we need to pray.
You know? Oh yes.
So, would you guys start early or what?
Yeah, we did. Kind of start early.
All right.
Nick's good. He jumps in. He knows how to do that stuff.
Right.
It's really
excellent.
Good.
Welcome, everybody, to TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, a busy Friday here. Busy Friday in Chicago.
Mm.
Oh, gosh, we're not going to say Christopher Columbus.
I can't believe that. But, yeah. This is where we're headed.
All right, let me find the prayer.
So how are you? Like I was telling Nick, He summed it up really good. He told me there's a disturbance in the Force, and I kind of feel that. I feel that something is not right.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit today because and I've got some good news too. I think so.
Good. I need good news.
I gotta find the prayer.
Good news is good news.
There we go. Okay. Gosh, everybody, sorry about that, but that's life, you know.
It happens.
Running from one thing to the next and.
It'd be nice if this radio is the only thing you could do, but it's not.
Well, that's the thing, you know. You're right. It's in fact, yesterday we were hoping to be on the radio, and
right.
I had a funeral, and I wanted to go to the cemetery, you know, just after the funeral. But normally, the deacon would go or something, but they couldn't this time, and mm-hmm. you know, it's just so important, you know, for the family. So anyway, well, let's pray. Okay, so we will kind of center ourselves here. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel made by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. And we pray for our nation, very much in need of prayers, the whole world in need of prayers, and that's not being pessimistic, that's being realistic. So we pray the litany of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven.
Have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world.
Have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit.
Have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God.
Have mercy on us.
O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of salvation, cover us and the whole world, cover our nation. The ocean of the blood of Jesus Christ, set us free. The blood of Jesus Christ, full of holiness and compassion,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, our strength and power,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the everlasting covenant,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the Christian faith,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the armor of God,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the divine charity,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the scourge of demons,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the help of those in bondage,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sacred wine,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the power of Christians,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the defender of the Catholic wall,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Christian's true faith,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the healing blood, save us.
Save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the anointing blood,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the boldness of the children of God,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the commander of Christian warriors,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of resurrection,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the drink of heavenly angels,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the consolation of God the Father,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the circumcision of the Gentiles,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the peace of the world,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sunshine of heaven and earth,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, a rainbow in heaven,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the hope of innocent children,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the word of God in our hearts,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, a heavenly weapon,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the divine wisdom,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the world,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the mercy of God the Father,
save us.
O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, cleanse our nation of all sin, cleanse the sins of the world. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, refine the world and refine our nation. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, teach us how to console Jesus. Let us pray. O precious blood of our salvation, we believe, hope, and trust in you. Deliver all those who are in the hands of the infernal spirits, we beseech you. Protect the dying against the works of evil spirits and welcome them into your eternal glory. Have mercy on the whole world and strengthen us to worship and console the Sacred Heart. We adore you. O precious blood of mercy, O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, heal the wounds in the sacred, most sacred heart of Jesus. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, heal the wounds in the most sacred heart of Jesus. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, heal the wounds in the most sacred heart of Jesus. Almighty and eternal God, King of kings and Lord of lords, graciously turn your gaze to us who invoke you with confidence. Bless us, citizens of the United States of America. Grant peace and prosperity to our nation. Illuminate those who govern us so that they may commit themselves to the common good in respect of your holy law. Protect those who defending the inviolable principles of the natural law and your commandments. must face the repeated assaults of the enemy of the human race. Keep in the hearts of your children courage for truth, love for virtue, and perseverance in the midst of trials. Make our families grow in the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, the example he's given us, together with his most holy mother and Saint Joseph in the home of Nazareth. Give to our fathers and mothers the gift of strength to educate wisely the children with which you have blessed them. Give courage to those who in spiritual combat fight the good fight as soldiers of Christ against the furious forces of the children of darkness. Keep each one of us, O Lord, in your most sacred heart, and above all, he whom your providence has placed at the head of our nation. Bless the President of the United States of America, so that aware of his responsibility and his duties, he may be a knight of justice, a defender of the oppressed, a firm bulwark against your enemies, and a proud supporter of the children of light. Place the United States of America and the whole world under the mantle of the Queen of Victories, our unconquered leader in battle, the Immaculate Conception. It is thanks to her and through your mercy that the hymn of praise rises to you, O Lord, from the children whom you have redeemed in the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, what's quite chilling, I think, you know, is that even this prayer, the fact that we ask the Lord to bless the we don't name the President of the United States. This could be Barack Obama. This could be the current president. I was going to say Harry Truman.
Truman.
That's where I'm at today. It's Friday.
Yeah.
It's Donald Trump.
Right.
Is that funny? That was it, but Truman. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you pray today, I had somebody, I've been leading this prayer for the president, and just the fact that we pray for the current president causes angst on the part of so many people. Isn't that sick?
Yeah.
It is so, so, so sick.
That's when I think this is ratcheted up too high. I can't. And it's people I talk to, and even looking at the news, you know, you have one side or the other. I mean, say what you want about this man, and I say it just this way. Say what you want about this man, but you have to look at what is being done today. I mean, I have lost so much faith, and not that I even had any in, like, the mayor and the governor in my eyes has gone up a few notches, and that's another thing. But the mayor, I mean, I can't understand this.
Well,
how do you give in to these people? I mean, and where are the police?
Well, the police are. What happened a week ago.
Yeah.
You know? There's
And it's more or less. Dude, I'm sorry, I'm really frustrated with this because don't people really see this? And I mean, if this is a matter of okay, well, let's play this out. You know, we got an election coming. I don't even think it's that anymore. There's right and wrong.
Well, that's actually we're going to talk about that.
I'm sorry, I know I'm going for it.
No, this is providential because last night I was at Mass. I was saying because I just had my office painted. I have to show it to you, you know. And it's kind of dark. I mean, I like dark colors anyway. Right. But does that mean I'm a dark person, you know, do I lean in toward pessimism? Well, it's hard not to, you know, when you see what's going on all around and what you deal with on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, this is the thing, you know, because there's a light, and this is part of the frustration is there's a light within us. And we want to convey that light, which is, of course, that light is God. But what do you do when people don't want it? You know, and I guess, and again, it's why should this day be different from any other day? I'll probably be all over the place. But I for instance, yesterday there was a beautiful reading. I've got it here. at the Mass. And actually, I had wanted to speak about St. Bridget at the Mass. It was her feast day yesterday, and I didn't get a chance because I had confessions right up to the moment Mass begins. And so I didn't get a chance to pull my stuff together. I wanted to share some of her writings, and I didn't even bring it today because I'm running from one thing to the next. But I was listening to sitting there listening to the first reading, and I'd seen the gospel and had just briefly looked at the first reading and said, well, we're in the month of July, right?
Mm-hmm.
And today is, the first reading,
24th.
The 24th.
24th, yeah.
So the first reading was, I get excited when I hear this because it's, this is from the prophet Jeremiah. And what was interesting is I had a meeting with a young man yesterday as well, and I'm telling you, and this is what brings me not to shy away from the reality of yes, it's one thing to, we want to avoid the news, and sometimes you have to because it's just so depressing. It just brings you down because you feel powerless. Many people feel powerless. At the same time, our people who do feel powerless, who are trying to keep the faith, they're looking for, they want somebody to help them understand that what they're going through is normal. Now, what is it they're going through? Anxiety, depression, loneliness. You feel you're out there alone. You wonder why I'm struggling to keep the faith when I see all this that's going on all around me. And I'm speaking about people who have these aren't people who have been in a bad way and have gone through, experienced a sudden conversion, a true epiphany that brings a major metanoia, a change of heart. And so they've come out of darkness into the light, away from evil into doing good. But I'm talking about people, most people, who are trying to live the faith and they struggle because they feel very much alone, and like most people, they have natural inclinations to the things of this world. And people, I mean, this is I hear this, so this is why I'm sharing it with you, because maybe you feel this way. I'm not speaking specifically you, mm-hmm. to you, Tony, but to all our listeners. Because I mean, people will come down on me and say, you know, it's too dark, or it's too dark, it's too negative. Well, I suppose I go back to my own experience as a young man in the seminary, and I wanted to be challenged. I wanted to hear the truth, something that would resonate with what was going on inside myself as I was trying to respond sincerely to the call of God in my life. And of course, so that was the days of all the banners in the churches. It was just when you think about how crazy it was, because sacred images were taken out of the churches. Many of the churches were really modernized. They brought in the banners, you know, that said peace and joy and love. I was sharing this with the people yesterday in a brief kind of a way, but I remember reading a book by Benedict Groeschel, God rest his soul. He was a priest, a Franciscan priest who started, I think, a new order of Franciscans, mm-hmm. if I'm not, I believe so. And he was pretty popular in his day, you know, as a kind of he might have written the book, The Reform of the Reform, you know. And, or maybe that was Pope Benedict, I'm not sure. But in any case, I remember reading this book, and it was so true, because he said because of course what happened was a lot of seminaries closed, convents were closing, And what was so amazing, what was so mind-boggling, is that people, religious sisters, religious communities would justify the closing of the emptying of their convents or their seminaries, saying that all because it's the age of the laity, this is the will of God, you know. But I just don't agree with that. I think, you know, that if we're truly a consecrated people, consecrated to the Lord, and we're living that consecration, not with perfection because only God is perfect, but we're being perfected, we're disposed for that perfection, the perfecting power of the Spirit, the purgative and the transformative power of God's Spirit. But anyway, in the book that called the Reform, because the point was that, you know, that everybody was talking about reform. We're going through this major reform, this new springtime in the church. I mean, where has it brought us? And how many religious communities have died and are dying? How, you know, where are the vocations? There was an increase in vocations. Now we see the vocations going down again. It's not surprising to me, because as the church seems more to institutionalize, loses her mysticism, her that sacred, and it becomes very, I say this often, you know, very horizontal, very political, very secular. I mean, there was a document, I haven't read it, but I was reading an article on it. It just came out of like 4,000, I think it was a 4,000-word document on the pandemic, and from the Vatican. And the article I read, I honestly haven't read this commentary or directives or whatever based on the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. But the article said this is a 4,000-word article, and not once is Jesus Christ mentioned. Not once are the sacraments mentioned. Not once is there anything that even tries to put this within the context of God's providence or how we as people of faith, how we enter into or approach or deal with this from a religious, spiritual perspective. Now, that's scandalous to me. If that's truly the case, and I believe it must be, because it was put out by the Pontifical Academy of Life, which has been hijacked by secularists. It's just amazing what's even going on in the church. But going back to the book, The Reform of the Reform, and I truly believe this is, it was certainly Father Benedict Grischel who wrote this. I'm thinking it was from the book, The Reform of the Reform. But he said, you know, he went into an abandoned seminary because there were no seminarians, and he went into the chapel. And in the chapel were the banners were still there, peace, joy, love. And he said, well, there must not have been much peace, joy, and love here. Otherwise, it wouldn't be emptied, you know. But these young people, there are young people who feel very much alone. And I'm working to see what I can do to try to connect some of these people. And so as I was speaking, Nick, do you want us to take a break? Because we're 24 minutes into the period. I need a break too. I just was running into the studio, but I'll come back and speak about this and then the reading yesterday and then how it relates to Sunday's reading and also good news, cause for hope. And there's always cause for hope, but we are going through a difficult time here in this nation and in the church. So listen, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church. and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org.
During this COVID-19 virus pandemic, offering you prayer and inspiration through your faith.
The winds of change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some welcome news. Father Anthony is reopening St. Stanislaus Kostka for the worship of Almighty God. St. Stan's will be limited to 150 people at any given time, and you must register to attend Mass. Because there's a lot of information that you'll need to have, we recommend that you visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. You can also register to attend Mass at St. Stan's by calling the parish office at 773-278-2470. That's 773-278-2470.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic,
the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. Thank
welcome.
You.
You're welcome. Welcome back, everybody. So I didn't realize this. Tony was just telling me during the break, and I was actually telling him that I'm trying to stay away from the news. I caught the news this morning, so I heard about the taking down of Christopher Columbus during the night, but I didn't realize that there was a protest at the mayor's house.
Yep.
Mayor Lightfoot, and that's interesting. But as I was speaking to this young person yesterday, because we were talking about this, because he's very disturbed and very confused by what he sees happening, and he feels very much alone, as many people do, because you can't speak your mind today. You're shouted down. You're pushed to the fringe. You're ostracized. Just as I said, you know, if you pray a prayer and you pray for the president of the United States, don't even mention his name, and people get upset. They get angry. But what we did do, as I was sharing with this young man, and I've shared with you people here on the radio, and you know, we never should have taken the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. We never should have taken the Ten Commandments out of our schools. We never should have dispensed with prayer. And quite frankly, we shouldn't have dispensed with God. And we have. And you know, I'll just leave it at
it's
that.
Like this is the result. I was thinking about that too.
Should we be surprised?
No.
Should we be surprised? And there's this if not outright hostility toward God and Christianity. And again, when I say God, I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's revealed himself in Jesus Christ. If there's not an outright hostility, there certainly is this allergic reaction to the faith of the church. Now, unfortunately, and this is what the church has to, seriously address the scandals. Especially, you go back to the summer of shame last year, the whole the Cardinal McCarrick situation, which was just pathetic, and the fact that it's really it took them forever to laicize him, to take from him his faculties as a priest, as a bishop, as a cardinal. This is a very powerful man who was abused, young men, seminarians, I think even priests, and it's disgusting. It's so disgusting, and that the church, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many people, didn't effectively deal with it, and still hasn't dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, on top of all these other things, I mean, people are naturally they're just holding on to that little bit of faith that they have. But that's where we've got to, you know, be humble and wise and take to heart the words of Jesus, who said, you know, the scandals are always going to be there. But what are those who cause the scandals? Better that a millstone be put around their neck than be thrown in the sea and drowned. But history has gone through this over and over and over and over again. And so there's, again, nothing new under the sun. Who was the cause of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? It was the Pharisees and the scribes. It was the priests of the day, you know. But even as I share with you just this reading yesterday from the book of Jeremiah and the prophets, you know, we've got to, this is, go back to what Pope Benedict said, you know, in this private audience, we must live our prophetic office. To the priests, he says that, but it's to all the people. But the priests we have to lead in that regard. But how do you? Well, you just stay with the truth. This isn't out of season time. This is an inconvenient time. And as I've said so many times, I had to remind the young man yesterday, and I keep reminding our people, Jesus, he didn't say it's going to be easy. It's on the contrary. He said, you're going to be hated by this world. You're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to be persecuted. But he says, have faith and have courage, because I've conquered the world. I've conquered the world. But in this world, yes, you will have trouble. And Jesus said, and I've repeated this many, many times, and I keep going back to it, because in his high priestly prayer, he prayed to the Father, and he says, I pray for these you've given me as a gift. They're your gift to me. And I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, not yet, but to protect them from the evil one. And of course, they were all martyred. Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord. He died in despair. Peter, the first pope, denied that he even knew the Lord. But he was reconciled, and he died a martyr. They all died martyrs, except John, the beloved disciple, who was a prisoner. He was imprisoned in Patmos on the island for having given witness to Jesus, and it was from there that he wrote the last book of the Bible. But the prophet Jeremiah, because again, I'm thinking of this young man, because he represents many, many who feel that they're all alone out there, and they don't want, you know, this pie in the sky type of stuff. They want, I have, you know, in other words, how do I keep my faith, or why is all this happening in the world? Why to me? Why to my family? Things that are going on. Everybody's got their own story. Why, when I've tried to do right and what is right and what is good, and even, you know, he said something so beautiful. He said, you know, when I went to college, he says, I didn't do the things that people were doing because I didn't want to offend or misrepresent my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the problem, is the absence of parents, absence of the father. But see, even with all the stuff that's going on, all the unrest, I sit there and wonder, how do these people sleep at night? How do you sleep at night when 41 police officers were wounded in that attack last week as the mob, they threw.
See, I watched that, and all the like cans and bottle, and I thought to myself, whatever I feel or anybody feels about police officers, at that moment, I didn't see police officers. I saw human beings. I would never do that to anyone. Anyone.
Well, this begs the question, and maybe this is we're being woke. You know, that's the big word now. You've been woked, but being woked to the reality of evil,
yeah.
Evil, systemic evil. that is the root of the evil is the absence of God. Mm-hmm. Because you can't be a person of God, God-fearing, God-loving, hard-working, disciplined person, and do such things to anybody. I mean, anything. I was reading also about the three young guys in Florida. I don't know if you heard about that. Mm-hmm. They went out fishing, and you know, my family lives on a panhandle, and so I, you know, even seeing the pictures, I can see that, you know, you kind of know. Right. I don't know exactly where it was in Florida. I think it's farther south, but anyway, you know, they look like real Southerners, simple people, hardworking people who were going fishing. I don't know anything. It just, the pictures kind of convey that to me, having been down there, knowing people in those neck of the woods. But this guy who had, I think, well over 100 felonies, he and his, I don't know, it was his brother and his brother's wife, because they were angry about something, about an engine that was taken from a truck or it wasn't repaired properly or whatever. This is just kind of the gist of the story. They massacred those three guys. Just in cold-blooded, they just massacred those three guys as they were getting ready to go fishing.
See, that's another thing I can't understand. Okay, I understand what's going on now, and police can't do the things that they're supposed to do. You've stopped them from doing the things you're doing, they're supposed to do. But then on top of it, you're letting people out of prison that have all these. And you hear these stories all the time. Person comes in, person comes out, does the same thing they did to get back in. So, I mean, what are we doing as a people?
Well, the 14 people, 14, 17 people, what was it? Yeah. That were killed in front of, not killed, but they were shot, wounded. In front of the funeral home?
Mm-hmm.
That was in broad daylight.
And that
wasn't even in the dark of night. That was in broad daylight.
It's an interesting thing about that, too, because I was thinking about this the other day. Any kind of shooting like that is all over, the nonstop, back and forth. And we're all back into these issues of, well, what did the shooter, why did the shooter do? But this one, surprisingly, is not really there until there's some people that brought it out and we're hearing about it. But what is the difference? There is a difference, and I'm not going to say it right now, but there is a difference.
As somebody once said, we're not in Kansas anymore. You
we
know?
Are not.
Even Kansas is having its own problems.
So, yeah.
Anyway, but here's from the prophet Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, and so the prophet, God speaking to the prophet, go, cry out this message for Jerusalem to hear. I remember the devotion of your youth, how you loved me as a bride, following me in the desert, in a land unsown. Sacred to the Lord was Israel, the first fruits of his harvest. Should any presume to partake of them, evil would befall them. When I brought you into the garden land to eat its goodly fruits, you entered and defiled my land. You made my heritage loathsome. The priest asked not, where is the Lord? Those who dealt with the law knew me not. The shepherds rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after useless idols. Be amazed at this, O heavens, and shudder with sheer horror, says the Lord. Two evils have my people done. They have forsaken me, the source of living waters. They have dug themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. This is a powerful reading.
Yeah.
Because this is the problem today. Is that we've gone away from God. We don't want, and I keep saying that because I assess it in such a way that people don't want the discipline of the faith, you know. And as I was speaking to this this young man who spoke of his own loneliness. And even to the point that he says, I feel like I have no friends because I'm asking God. And I mean, this is from the depths of his heart, asking God, but you know, God, I pray, this is a young man, pray the rosary every day. I go to Mass. I've always gone to Mass. He's done all the right things. And he says, what, you know, but where are you? Where are you? And he's looking to me for an answer. And all I can do, in all honesty, is go back to the prophet Jeremiah. As I've mentioned often on the radio, the lament of Jeremiah, who said, oh God, I sit here alone in the midst of merrymakers because I said yes to you, Almighty God. I sit here alone in the midst of merrymakers. And he expresses the angst of his own heart. He said, I wish I had never been born. Why did my mother not abort me? The prophet says. The anger he feels toward God for having called him and having allowed him to say yes. And he says, I will not, I swear, I will not no longer speak in the name of Yahweh. But then something happens. This fire begins to burn within him, and he realizes that he can't keep it inside. In other words, his love for God and for truth is greater than the suffering he's having to endure in the face of these people who are stiff-necked, obstinate of heart, guilty of all kinds of idolatry. And you know, it's what people ask, and I've heard this from many people, how is it that these people, they seem to be doing fine? They seem to be getting on with life? And I told this man, and I tell all of you, don't be deceived by that, what you see on the surface. Because, you know, as somebody told me, and what you do today, who you are today, is going to determine who you will be 10 years from now. And better to suffer the faith, to stay with God, and you know, just because it's God knows his own. God knows his own. And I shared some of my own experiences and all that, because the reality is that, and this is the problem with many priests, is they don't understand the nature of the spiritual battle. They don't understand the nature of the lonely walk. It's that people don't want to hear that. I understand that. But if you're going to walk with the Lord, it's a lonely walk. But in that lonely walk, there comes a great solitude, as something that you'd never want to sacrifice for anything. It's again, it goes to the reading this Sunday. Jesus speaks about the pearl that has no price. When you come into the possession of that pearl, or you sell everything you have in order to buy that pearl, nothing compares. But it in terms of the faith, and again, Jesus didn't deceive us. You're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to, you know, like even Jesus said of himself, you know, you're going to leave me very much alone, but I'm not alone because the Father is with me. And so I think, you know, as this has happened to me many times, as has happened to so many people I've dealt with, it's just we have to remind each other, you know, that you're not alone, that I'm with you in this, you know, we're in this together. And this is where we've got to pull together the Anawim. I'm speaking about the Anawim. I'm speaking about those who are keeping the faith. I'm not speaking about those who, in many ways, become imposters or use the faith for their own gain, for their own power, for their own privilege, for their own prestige. But I'm talking about those who are willing. This is in Scripture. It says, you know, when God says, well, who will go for us? He's looking for somebody. I mean, the harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. And it's always been, and it always will be. But until we accept, understand the nature of the spiritual battle, that we have to go into the desert, go into the darkness, that's not a despairing thing, even though we may at times feel like we're on the verge of despair. And somebody had asked this morning, I got a note, I haven't had much time to reflect on it, but how do you go into the desert? Well, you don't have to think about how do you go. You just go. You have no choice. You can escape. You can run from it. You know, you can look for the water that is not life-giving, and we all know that. You know, we're all we know when we've allowed ourselves to be deceived or duped or seduced or whatever. It doesn't suffice. You get back on that path. You get back into that desert, and like the great saints have said, you just wait. You wait on the Lord. Anyway, going to take a break. We'll come back, and I want to look at all this within the context of the gospel coming up on Sunday, because it's really a very interesting gospel. And then I say that I've got a little bit of good news as well. I think. Hopeful news, certainly. So, all right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some welcome news. Father Anthony is reopening St. Stanislaus Kostka for the worship of Almighty God. St. Stan's will be limited to 150 people at any given time, and you must register to attend Mass. Because there's a lot of information that you'll need to have, we recommend that you visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. You can also register to attend Mass at St. Stan's by calling the parish office at 773-278-2470. That's 773-278-2470. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Yes, there is a free lunch. You can find chicken tenders, mac and cheese, pizza, pancakes, and more for children under 18 years of age in each household, available for grab-and-go curbside pickup Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. at Holy Trinity High School, 1443 West Division. The children don't have to be Holy Trinity students. Holy Trinity High School has partnered with Country House on the ISBE Summer Food Service Program. Enjoy Country House's signature made-from-scratch cooking and fun snack packs to brighten your summer. To find out more about the free lunch at Holy Trinity High School, call 708-389-4618. That's 708-389-4618.
Come and enjoy meals every day.
Let's eat!
Anybody got an extra spork?
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up on this Friday. So I find the readings this Sunday quite interesting, and it's all in keeping with what we've been talking about this morning. But, you know, as I mentioned, you know, and I trust you aren't going to be too harsh if I sound too negative. I don't mean to be, but I have to be true to listen to what I hear and what I experience. Mm-hmm. And I've heard and listened to the cries of many, you know, parents and good priests, teachers, and just people who take very seriously their faith, and they say, well, where do we go wrong? This is like the young man yesterday. And I'm speaking about those who view their state of life or vocation in life as a response to the call of God. Because on one hand, this is an energizing and life-giving gift that God bestows on those willing to make the sacrifice to lay down one's life for love of God and in service to others. And that would be the call of the Christian, the call of a Catholic. On the other hand, it's a frightening challenge because, you know, we're aware of our own limitations, our own imperfections, and to bear the, let's call it a happy burden of forming the lives of our children, our students, our parishioners, our friends, to be God-fearing, God-loving, hardworking, honest, disciplined citizens of this world while safeguarding their souls for the beatific vision in the next. No matter how much preparation one receives, we often feel inadequate to fulfill the awesome responsibility when the formation of people's lives have been entrusted to our care. And we're all called to give witness, and I suspect that we all feel a bit inadequate, especially because of what we see all around us. Now, at the outset, when God calls, it seems, and this we're going to hear this in the first reading on Sunday from the King of Kings, but it's as if God puts us to the test, whispering in our ears. He says, ask something of me, and I will give it to you. He's asking Solomon. Because there's this other voice that says, worship me, or worship yourself, or worship something other than God. Bow down to me, bow down to yourself or to another, and you will have long life for yourself. You will have riches, power over your enemies, and prestige in the eyes of the world. And I would say, in humility, on my behalf as well as on your behalf, we've risen to the test as Solomon did in his day. Solomon, of course, was the second king of Israel, the successor of King David. As people committed to God, haven't we made Solomon's words our own? Because how did Solomon respond? It's just, you started the show with this. He says, Tony, you mentioned this. Solomon said, because God says, ask anything, ask something of me, and I will give it to you. And Solomon said, give me your servant an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. Now, God was pleased with his request, and he said to Solomon, and he says to you, and he says to me, because you've asked for this, not for long life for yourself, not for riches, not for the life of nor for the life of your enemies, but for understanding so that you may know what is right, I do as you requested. I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there's never been anyone like you up to now. So, but where do we go wrong? This is the angst of so many parents, so many priests, teachers, people who struggle to remain faithful to the God's call to them, many who view their lives as a sincere effort to keep God at the center, to build on the foundation of God's life, and daily entrust to the Lord those entrusted to them by the Lord, their children, their students, their parishioners, your friends, family members. You know, I was thinking about this. We're fond of the parable of the lost sheep, how the Lord leaves 99 behind in search of the one who is lost. And when he finds it, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 who did not stray. At this juncture in history, it feels as though one sheep remains and 99 go astray.
Yeah.
And expectedly, we're overwhelmed. And this is how many feel, overwhelmed. What caused this? What must we do? Have we failed in our witness to the kingdom of heaven, which the Lord likened, you'll hear this on Sunday, to a treasure buried in the field, which a person finds out, or finds, and out of joy, he sells all that he has and he buys the field in order to secure for himself the hidden treasure. Now, the answer, there are many, we're always trying to address these answers, or question, trying to answer the question as to what happened, where did we go wrong? As I said, you know, we should never have taken the commandments out of the courthouses, we should have never taken the commandments out of the school, never taken prayer out of school, never taken God out of our lives. But we seem so ineffective at conveying the great goodness of God and his kingdom. And at times we feel as though we fail in the charge to be or to form disciples of our children, our students, our parishioners. A couple of weeks ago I said that we find ourselves on the precipice of doubt, desolation, even despair. But if we remain in Christ, we will not leap over the edge. We will not jump ship. Jesus, again, think about this. Even after all the good he did, the miracles he performed, the words he spoke, he felt quite alone, as I said earlier. He suffered a heavy heart. He was so full of anxiety that he sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was abandoned, he was denied, he was betrayed, he was crucified for our sake. Only his mother and the beloved John and a few others entered into his suffering, while the multitude stood by and watched. Some mocked and blasphemed, others spat on him. Isn't this what's happening today? We've come full circle, nothing new under the sun. But in his resurrection, he summons us to fear not, to be at peace, that, you know, this is sufficient for us to know that he's with us as we suffer in our hearts for those who we've given our lives to, those entrusted to us by the Lord. Our sense of failure at their disregard for God, their disregard for the faith, and is disheartening. But the resurrection is our hope, and we need only continue loving God, and all will end well, because we'll hear this. St. Paul will say, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so finally, you know, this challenge the Lord issued to the Christians at Ephesus. I know your works, your labor, your endurance. You cannot tolerate the wicked. You've tested those who call themselves apostles but are imposters. You have endurance. You've suffered for my name. Yet I hold this against you. You've lost the love you had at first. Realize how far you've fallen. Whoever has ears ought to hear. And he says, to the victor, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life that is the garden of God. And so as we conclude the show, Lord God, we pray for the grace to love you, not only for who you are and what you've done for us, but for the salvation of those you've entrusted to our care. So I wish all of you a wonderful weekend. Stay, be safe, be sane, be strong. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell of strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. Let No time to hide, the winds have